So I've been preaching on spiritual warfare. Now, this is the sixth week, and I believe it's the most important message I've preached in a long, long time. There's too many people blaming God for all the bad things that happen. You need to know there's a spiritual warfare going on, and that Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Peter said, your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's your problem. Amen. Amen. Demons and devils. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. There's a lot of us feel like our battle is with our own flesh and with our humanity. But this says your real battle is with evil forces. And even the devil even uses your fleshly desires against you. He tries to multiply them sometimes so strong you feel like you can't overcome. I'm telling you, there's more going on than just your fleshly desires. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness. Do you believe the word of God? That's what it says. It doesn't matter what someone's opinion is or what some preacher preached. This is what the word says. Against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist. The Amplified Bible says correctly, so that you'll be able to stand your ground in the evil day. Anytime you're praying and believing God for a miracle, you have to stand your ground because the devil will explain to you why it can't happen. Yay. And he'll do everything to undermine everything you do. Be prepared to triumph or to win by having on the full armor of God. You know, we dress our kids up in paper armor. But basically, here's what it is. Truth, righteousness, preparation in the gospel, faith, salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, and prayer. That's basically, very quickly, summing up the armor. Let's start off with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins or your waist with truth. If you are going to live for God and walk in victory, we must know the truth. You can't be deceived and walk in victory. John 15:15, thy word is truth. That's why I read the Bible to you every Sunday. Sometimes so many scriptures, there's no way in the world you could ever remember all of them. But if you just remember one or two, that'd be a big plus. But you can go always now look it up online, and if it's of interest to you, you can study it backwards and forwards, and I promise you the Word of God will change your life. And because I preach the Word of God, my sermons will change your life. And this message today, if you'll study it and practice it and put it into practice, you will be blessed far greater than you have been. John chapter 8, verse 44, whenever he, the devil speaks, whenever he speaks, whenever he, meaning the devil, speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So Jesus Christ says right there, your number one enemy is the lying devil. If you've gotten in trouble morally, it's because the devil convinced you evil is good. And you believed it. And you stepped into evil and it wrecked your life. You see, the antidote to Satan's lies is truth. That's why I've spent so much of my time over the years reading and meditating on the Word of God. We cannot be deceived if we know the truth. You come and tell me a great big lie, and I already know the truth. I'm not going to be deceived by your lie, because I've already found the truth. In this case, I've discovered the truth from studying the Word of God. In John chapter 16, verse 13, but when the Spirit of truth comes, say the Spirit of truth. There's no reason for a born-again believer to be deceived because you have the Spirit of truth living in you if you're born again. And when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. If we pray and meditate on the Word, the Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. He'll begin to reveal things to us. That's why I preach the things I preach. Is over the years, God has revealed to me things from His Word that has totally changed my life, and I share them with you. If we study His Bible, He will give us wisdom. How many want wisdom? He'll give us wisdom and revelation. God can just show you things, give you a revelation of what to do to be successful in life. And many of our business people here in the church, they say God gave them a revelation of what they need to do. And when they did it, it turned into money. Amen. In John chapter 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, say continue in his word. It's a good reason to be in a church like this when you hear the word all the time. If the devil's cheating you out of your time and you don't have as much time as you like or don't make enough time for the word of God, you have an advantage being in a church like this because you hear it every week. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. That's what he said. Verse 32, and you will know the truth. If you meditate on the Bible, the Word of God, you'll know the truth. If you're in a Bible, believing, preaching, church, you'll know the truth. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free from drugs and alcohol, to illicit sex, poverty, inferiority, spiritual infirmity. The Word of God will make you free. The truth will set us free from Satan's deception. We must know the truth about salvation. If you don't know the truth about salvation, what's going to happen? You're going to be lost. You better know the truth about salvation. The truth about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The truth about prayer and fasting. The truth about healing. The truth about deliverance. The truth about heaven and hell. It's all right here. You see, this, all of this is in the Bible. So you need to know the truth. Then you need to know you're righteous. If you don't know you're righteous, then the devil's going to always have you under condemnation, saying, God's not going to answer your prayers because you're not worthy. You need to know you're righteous. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. See, in prayer, you know you need to know the truth. What can you really believe God for? What's the truth about healing and deliverance and all those things? And then, am I worthy to receive it? You got to have your loins girded about with truth, but then you need to have that breastplate of righteousness and know who you are. I'm the righteous of God. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. I'm righteous. I'm worthy. Well, I've seen you. You don't always act like you're worthy. Well, I've been watching you too. You're not worthy because of your behavior. You're worthy because you're washed in the blood. Amen. Here goes, righteousness. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Wow. That's why he came. God made Jesus Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When you put your faith in him, you become the righteousness of God in God's eyes. I didn't write this. Just reading it. When we accept Christ by faith, we become the righteousness of God. I don't always look righteous or act righteous. And don't ask my wife. But most of you already know. But I'm righteous not because of my behavior, but because of Jesus Christ. Now, if I'm truly born again, my behavior will begin to change. He'll begin to change it. But I'm not righteous because I'm good. If there is any good, it's because I'm born again. You see, if we do not know we're righteous, we will live under condemnation. And very often when someone asks for prayer, so I've been sick for so long and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I said, more than likely you're doing nothing wrong. It's the devil condemning you, trying to make you think you're not worthy to get healed. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, that righteousness that comes from keeping rules and regulations, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. When we put our faith in Jesus, we become righteous in God's eyes. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, well, Pastor, you don't know what I did this week. I don't need to know what you did this week. All I need to know is 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you've messed up right now, sitting right there, just confess it before God to him. You don't need to tell anybody else unless he tells you. Tell somebody else and confess it to him and be done with it. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just. Well, how do I know he forgave me? Because he's faithful and just to keep his word. He said he would. Amen. You're righteous. Satan's lie is that we are not worthy. The truth is we are righteous, therefore worthy. Number three, preparation. People get this all mixed up, say, well, it's peace. It's the gospel of peace. It's the gospel. The gospel is the gospel of peace. But this is about preparation. This is where I get my faith. Preparation. What's preparation? Doing the word. Praying, fasting, meditating on the word, being in church where I can hear good preaching. I hear it too, okay? And you say amen. And remember, good preaching is basically reading the Bible. Preparation. Let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Just for a moment, let's read like this. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. You need to be prepared with the gospel. How do you do that? You meditate on it. You pray over it. Can you say amen? You pray and you fast. You meditate on the word of God. I was praying and fasting when God gave me Matthew 8, 16 and 17. I wasn't sick. Wasn't praying for a miracle healing. I was just meditating on the word, preparing myself for the future. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just praying and fasting and studying the word of God the way I'm told to do. And God gave me Matthew 8, 16 and 17. He said, do you believe I'm still here? The word of God, he said, that's Matthew. And he says, Jesus healed all that came to him to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah that when he came, he'd take our infirmities and sicknesses. Because I was fasting and praying and meditating on the word, the Lord spoke to me. He said, do you believe I'm still here? I said, yes. Do you believe I'm still here to take your infirmities and your sicknesses? And do you believe I'm still here to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy? I said, yes, yes, yes. And I've been healed. I haven't missed preaching for 47 years because of sickness, because God gave me that word on healing, and every time the devil tries to put strep or something on me, I tell him where to go. Why? Because I was doing my homework 47 years ago. Okay. And I'm only 49, in case you're wondering. I've been 49 for decades. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see, we prepare through prayer, fasting, meditating on God's word, and attending a good church. Mark chapter 9, verse 28. Well, I don't need to go to church. The Bible says you're supposed to. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a reason. Mark 9, 28. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? They tried to cast it out. This demon, and he wouldn't go. Verse 29, and he said to them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And I know some say, well, that fasting is not in the Greek. Well, it doesn't matter, because that's what they practiced anyway. They fasted 2 days a week. Amen. And prayed all the time. He is telling his disciples that they were not properly prepared to defeat the devil. You need to be prepared. When the devil shows up, you need to be read up, churched up, fired up, okay, and ready to slap him back down to where he came from. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. But you got to have something to stand on if you're going to resist the devil, and that has to be the promises of God. When he tries to put sickness on me, I stand on Matthew 8, 16 and 17. With his stripes, I'm healed. Because that's what Isaiah prophesied. With his stripes, you're healed. Peter says, with his stripes, you were healed. If I were healed, I are healed. I know good English, but sometimes good English doesn't work. God equips us through prayer, fasting, and his word. I prepare myself every day to win by prayer, fasting, and meditating on the word of God. I've got 100 scriptures memorized in order to build my faith. And I'm not saying you have to do that. You can have them written down or you can just have them marked in your Bible. But when you have a confrontation with the enemy and you appear to be losing, you need to get your promises, you know, and start meditating on them. And, a few months back, not too long, what, 4 or 5 months ago, I don't remember now, I lost my phone. And of course, I'm a pastor of church. I got all these contacts. I got all these prayer requests and things from you. I've got all the a pastor today, especially one that's the founding pastor, has to be a businessman. I've got all these business people's phone numbers and everything and have no way of getting them. Some, a lot of them are cell phone numbers of lawyers. I mean, doesn't hurt anything to have a cell phone number of a good lawyer, if you can find one. We have one here in the church, so I have to be nice. Yay. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding about having one, but I'm kidding. Lawyers are very important today. Can you say amen? But anyway, I lost my phone. And man, I was devastated. And I said, God, I got to have my phone. I need you to show me where that phone is. And I remember this scripture, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it. And the way it's translated to me is, whatever you ask for in prayer, believing that you receive, that you receive it right here, right now. And I said, Lord, I believe I receive it. I'm asking you to return that phone. I'm believing I'm receiving right now. And when I said that, that scripture came from preparation. When I said that, the Lord said, I've got it. I said, well, where is it? And I felt an unction right here. I've been over to the health club. It's ringing when I came out. I jogged to my vehicle, hopped in, drove home, phone was gone. So I feel led to go back over to the parking lot. I'm not going to go into the whole detail, but it turned out that someone had found my phone. It was laying in the rain. It was raining, and somebody picked it up. There's several businesses there, so there's no way to know which business to take it to. So they stood against that tree so the rain wouldn't hit it directly. And I drove back around, and I went in. My wife was still looking in the parking lot, Sister Dottie, and she found it by the tree. Because I've been doing my homework, and then I did what the homework says. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it right here, right now, and you get it. And when I said it, he said, I've got it, and then he took me right to it. Well, he took Dottie right to it. So what I'm preaching will change your world. Oh, he's a wonderful preacher. No, I just read the Bible. Okay? And I do my homework. And most preachers don't. They did a poll of preachers. They average praying about 5, 6, 7 minutes a day. And they're headed for disaster. And their church is headed. I mean, you got a devil working to destroy you. You better be in tune with God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God. Do you believe that? If you do, why do you leave it? Why do you leave it on the coffee table? If we believe this is the word of God, we need to spend time in it. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or the woman of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. You're not going to be adequately equipped to walk in victory in this life if you do not learn the word of God. If you stay in this church 5 years and study along with me and look it up on the internet and study it some more, in 5 years you'll know a lot. I'm not bragging to complain. This is what God makes me do to stay right with him. The word of God equips us for success. We must, like Michael Church said last week, Every sermon is a success sermon because it's the Word of God. God's Word shows you how to be successful, even taking authority over your enemy. We must prepare ourselves for victory by studying and doing the Word. This is a part of our daily devotion. Everybody needs a daily devotion to spend time in prayer in the Word. This is where my faith comes from. As I'm meditating on the Word of God and praying, He quickens these scriptures to my heart. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it and you will get it. And then James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Just listening is not good enough. Do what it says when you give and when you pray and when you fast and when you go to church and when you speak to your mountains. You need to believe the Word and do the Word. Speak to the demons and the devils when they come against you. Speak to the mountains. I've heard people say, well, I don't believe in speaking to mountains. I don't believe in speaking to demons. Well, go ahead and let them eat your lunch. That's your business. But I'm told to speak to them, and I'm going to get out of here. Jesus did. He said, it is written, Satan, be gone. He's my example. Verse 25, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. He will be blessed in what he does. You hear these scriptures on praying and fasting and meditating on the Word of God? You need to do it. When I talk about ice cream, you'll show up and do that. Do the Word. Do the part that may seem a little hard, but boy, I tell you, you get kind of addicted to it that you feel miserable if you're not in the Word of God. Be prayed up, fasted up, meditated up, churched up, and equipped for a battle because the battle's coming. Well, I don't have any problems. Well, the devil's going to see to it that you do. Okay. Just be ready, doing the Word, praying and fasting and meditating on the Word of God. Be in church, be equipped for battle. Doing the Word, praying, fasting, and meditating on the Word builds faith. That's where my faith comes from, is praying and meditating on the Word and believing God. Now, faith, truth, righteousness, be prepared. Faith, take the shield of faith. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, in addition to all, you see, if you go through this, pray through this, a lot of this I'm saying will come back to your memory because it's an outline. But you don't need to wait till next week. Start praying through it today when you get home through these pieces of armor. Faith. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the firing of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Very often, it's little darts of doubt. He's doing everything to destroy your faith. That God is not going to heal you. He's not going to help you this time in this with this problem at work. He's not going to help you with your kids. You got to shut down those doubts with a faith scripture, a faith word. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. That's in the Bible for a reason. So you'll know. Satan says you're going to lose your voice today. He tells me that all the time because I had a problem with my throat with tonsillitis and strep throat, and that's a threat to a preacher. Can you say amen? You got to be able to talk. And he tells me all the time, you're going to lose your voice. You're not going to be able to talk today. And then my throat gets raspy, and I start sounding funny, and I have to say, devil, get out of here. Get your hands up. I'm not giving into that. Any least. That's how I've been able to keep preaching. Every Sunday, no matter what the devil tries to do. I know some of you are praying with God to shut him up. But he's not going to. And the devil can't. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Answer every doubt with a faith word. With his stripes, I'm healed. Get your hands off of my throat. You got to get those scriptures in you. That's where praying and meditating on the Word of God comes from. Faith is a substance, an evidence. Many of these scriptures have become a substance or an evidence to me, and I know they're true. It's got to go from here to here. Do you really like being saved? How do you know you're saved? You heard about it. But now it's here. We have a substance and evidence that you're saved. You can have a substance or an evidence that you heal. You can have a substance or an evidence that that problem at work is solved. You show up grinning because you know in here it's done. Happens to me all the time. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's not just something you dream up. It's a substance. It's an evidence. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When the Lord told me he had my phone, it became a substance and evidence. I knew I was getting that phone back. But it came as a substance, evidence in my heart. Because I heard him say, I've got it. Faith is a substance, an evidence, a no-so that we have already won our battle. The fiery darts have no effect on us because we focus on our no-so word. In other words, we're quenching those fiery darts by focusing on the promise. With his stripes, I'm healed. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to win. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. You get that in you and you speak it. And the fiery darts lose their sting. Taking up the shield of faith means we focus on the rhema no-so word revelation from God that we've received in prayer and fasting and meditating on the word or being in church. Some of you right now, there's some of these scriptures, at least one I'm believing is quickening. You say, man, now I see, wow, I like that. You need to take that and memorize it. And quote it to the devil every time he shows up, especially concerning that issue. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, so do not throw away your confidence. The devil's only hope of defeating you is that you're just, well, it's not working and I give up. You can't do that. It says, do not throw away your confidence. And I'm going to stay true to the word of God. No matter what happens, I'm going to keep believing it and standing on it. If it don't work out just like I thought, I'm just going to give that to God and keep right on quoting the scripture. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. The only way the devil can defeat you is you get discouraged and quit. Satan sends symptoms, circumstances, and fiery darts to cause us to doubt. If you don't have a promise, pray till you get one. I didn't have a promise. God was going to return my phone. But I prayed there I was in the bathroom. I prayed in the bathroom until I got a promise that he had my phone. Okay. Pray till you get faith. Well, I don't have a pray till you get it. And you get that note so in you that God's got it. Hold on to your word. Once you get that promise, hold on to it. On to it. In Romans chapter 4, verse 20, no unbelief or distrust made him, Abraham, waver or downly question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. He kept praising God. He had a promise. He's going to have a son. He and Sarah were going to have a son. She had been barren her whole life. Now she was past childbearing age. Through menopause, she couldn't have a child, and yet he believed God anyway. Impossible has nothing to do with faith. You believe it anyway. If it's a substance, an evidence. Abraham had a word from God. So did Sarah. Verse 21, fully satisfied and assured. Abraham was fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. How about you? Are you fully satisfied and assured that God is able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he's promised you? Abraham had a promise from God. Therefore, he did not doubt when he considered the facts. Do you doubt when you look at the facts? It's okay to look at the facts, just don't believe them. So what are you telling us? I'm telling you the fact was Sarah could not have a baby. That's what I'm telling you. When he looked at the facts that she couldn't have a baby and he was 100. She was 90. When he looked at the facts, it even says that he didn't doubt when he considered the impossibility. He had a word from God that she was going to have a baby. Had a substance, evidence, a no-so that she's going to have a baby. And when he looked at the facts, this is totally impossible. It's okay, God did it anyway. It's impossible for me and Dottie to start this church, but here it is. Came here with nothing. Can you say amen? Didn't have a job. Wasn't because I was lazy, it was because God said, I want you to pastor this church. It didn't even exist. Pastoring church, it didn't exist full time. Yay. So how did you live? I don't know. God just brought him money from every which way. Can you say amen? Amen. Salvation. The helmet of salvation. This is probably the most important one. What does salvation mean to you? I tell you what it means to me. It means that I've been redeemed from slavery. It's like the Exodus, the children of Israel coming out of Egyptian slavery. Salvation is compared to that. I've been delivered from slavery to the old slave master. I've been set free. How about you? I've been redeemed from everything he has. I'm redeemed from sin, sickness, disease, failure, poverty, inferiority, because Jesus Christ paid with his blood on Calvary. He redeemed me. I'm bought and paid for. It even says I'm not my own. I belong to him. If I belong to him, Slewfoot does not have any right to touch me. Can you say amen? Abraham had a promise from God, and he believed it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation. And this is really a promise, deliverance and redemption. It's our exodus. And take the helmet of salvation. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. When he died on Calvary, he took my sins in his body, died in my place, and he defeated Satan by blotting out my sins. That's the way he did it. So that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. I've heard people debating to what degree is the devil's power destroyed in this world. It's not destroyed. He's getting worse, it seems, every day. And the Bible even prophesies in the end it's going to get worse and worse. So how is the devil destroyed? He's destroyed to me when my sins are blotted out. He no longer has a right, legal right, to touch me. Oh, he will. He'll come to steal, kill, and destroy, just like Jesus said. He goes about as a roaring lion, just like Peter said, seeking whom he may devour. But if you're born again and washed in the blood, he no longer has a legal right to touch you. And as a matter of fact, you now have authority over him. Jesus said, I give you authority. Satan no longer has power over me because my sins are gone. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? Verse 20, for you were bought at a price. We have been bought and paid for, so the old slave master has no legal right to touch the property of God. That's what it means to be saved. Take up the knowledge of salvation of who you are. I've been redeemed, bought and paid for. I even look better now that I'm saved. Okay. I've seen people get saved and the whole complexion changes right in front of me. Amen. Salvation changes everything, affects everything. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and Jesus has redeemed us from the curses because our sins have been blotted out. When Adam and Eve sinned, it opened the door to all the curses to come into this world, including sin, sickness, disease, failure, poverty, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes. There's none of that stuff in this world until man sinned. And when Christ comes, he can blot out those curses. Sin, sickness, disease, failure, poverty, inferiority. I tell Satan I have been redeemed from sin, sickness, disease, failure, poverty, inferiority. You need to get that statement and memorize it. I quote it to the devil all the time. Satan, I have been redeemed from sin, sickness, disease, failure, poverty, inferiority. So give it up and get out. And I've been blessed because of that. Amen. But you got to take on that helmet of salvation. In other words, you got to get that in your mind, in your heart, and say it. You have no right to touch me, devil. Get out of here. And then the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We must learn to use the Word of God as a sword, like Jesus did when Satan shows up. We say, Satan, it is written. Matthew 4:10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. I went through this the other day very clearly on Sunday morning, but just a reminder here, because this is the way you use the sword of the Spirit. When then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. You need to be able to say that. That's why you need these sermons. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Some Christians are just too lazy to study the Word of God. They're failures. They're defeated about everything they do because they're lazy. They will not get into the Word of God and memorize the Word of God. And some of these sermons, I mean, it takes a little work to really learn this stuff. Somebody say amen. But I'd rather win than be lazy. Somebody say amen. Verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Notice, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, quoted Scripture. It means as a young man, he memorized the Scripture. And you know, he didn't have a cell phone with a Bible on it. They had big old scrolls. They had to memorize it. That's the only way they had to have that they could have the Word of God with them, is memorize. Jesus said three times, it is written, then begone. Jesus defeated the devil with the Word. We must do the same thing. Listen to me. Satan, it is written. I go through these probably every day. With his stripes, we're healed. Devil, you hear me? With his stripes, I'm healed. And I make it personal. With his stripes, I'm healed. Take your strep throat and get out. Satan, it is written, the Lord is the strength of my life. Or you're getting old, you're supposed to be weak. Satan, get out of here. The Lord is the strength of my life. I can do anything I want to do, anything he wants me to do. Satan, it is written, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Well, you really can't do that. Yes, I can with his help. And I read it right back to him. It is written, Satan, it is written, no man will be able to stand before me all the days of my life. In other words, no man will be able to hinder me no matter what. And that's been true now for 110 years. And no one has ever been able to defeat me or shut me down or even slow me down because I say that over and over. Can you say amen? No man will be able to stand before me all the days of my life. I had some threatening situations. I went to the mountain, started praying. God gave me that. He said, no man will ever be able to stand against you all the days of your life. And it's a quote that God spoke to Joshua. Submit to God, and Satan is written, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Give you some scriptures like that and memorize. You see, this is the way we win our battles, let's all stand. I can't figure out how to win the battle that clock.